Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
All this week, we will be reporting on what some publications are calling the climate crisis as part of the Covering Climate Now initiative, over 250 press outlets worldwide. We'll hear the science, air, land, water, but also the personal impact. So many questions, including how to talk about climate change with people who are climate science deniers. Well, one approach, a friendly advice column, an interaction on a personal level. Journalist Sarah Peach launched the Ask Sarah Climate Change advice column and ask people to reach out to her on social media with their questions. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. She's also a senior editor at the Yale Climate Connections. And Sarah Peach joins us from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Sarah, hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So what inspired this?
Well, a few different things. But as you said, I'm a journalist. I've been covering climate change for almost 10 years now. And because people in my life, friends and family, started to realize that I knew something about climate change. One thing that happened was that people came to me with their questions. I started to get questions like, should I put solar panels on my roof? Should I buy a beach house on the Outer Banks? And so that was part of the inspiration for formalizing my answers to those questions. So now anyone can send a question to me about climate change, and I will do my best to go and talk to the experts and bring back an answer for you.
Right. Well, and people are also asking you, we understand, how do I talk to my family member who doesn't believe that there is climate change or doesn't believe that it's man-made? Let's start there. What's the answer?
I think it's important to evaluate how open-minded they are. We know from research data that almost 70% of Americans think that climate change is happening, and a lot of them are aware of it and concerned, but aren't necessarily doing much about it. So as an advice columnist, I would say that your time and energy is much better spent talking with those people about the problem. And if the person is just really quite sure that it's not an issue, then just let them go.
Well, but that's hard.
Yes,
for people.
I know.
I mean, here's one letter that you got. Dear Sarah, my friend is a Republican who owns a very expensive mansion on Fisher Island in Miami. I'm fairly sure my friend believes that climate change is real, but doesn't know how serious it is for her or in her children's lifetimes. What year will I tell her is the last I'll be able to visit her there because it'll be underwater? How many years ahead of that will she need to sell it before it'll be rendered worthless? I'm thinking of getting her a garden gnome wearing a snorkel. And you write, let's start with the facts, and you start with sea level rise. Like, what did you tell this person?
Yeah, so I think that what people have to understand is that long before South Florida washes away, potentially, with sea level rise, people are going to start selling their homes and moving away, and home values are going to decrease, and quality of life is going to decrease. And so I encourage this letter writer to talk to her friend about it, to ask her some questions like, are you being affected by this now? How have you seen floods in your day-to-day life? And just open up a conversation, because this isn't a distant problem. It's here and now.
Oh, here and now. Yes. In one of the suggestions that you make, because this is what you do, you write several paragraphs of what the science is, and then you have suggestions, and you say, I keep daydreaming about what would happen if you scheduled a visit to your friend to coincide with a king tide and street flooding and used that as a conversation starter. And then you say the date of the full moon in September or October, when the alignment of the sun, the earth, and the moon give an extra tug to the tides. You know, maybe visit then when it's at its worst. Because you say we have to start talking. You and your colleagues define something called the climate change spiral of silence.
Right.
What's that?
So in surveys, people will say that on a day-to-day basis, they hardly ever hear their friends and family talking about this issue. So we read the news, we think that this is a real problem, but we're just kind of quietly worrying about it by ourselves instead of talking in our community about it. And I think that is just so harmful to our chances of doing something about the problem, because it's one of the most important things that anyone can do is actually to speak up to friends and family and say, I'm worried about this. Are you worried about it?
No. There's a woman who wrote you, you know, how do I talk to my children? They're toddlers now. You know, this woman, I think, jokingly said to you, should I teach them how to can food? And you responded, well, maybe.
Yeah.
So you talk about some of the personal ways, you know, some people are, you know, taking people on dives to the Great Barrier Reef, or there's maybe an evangelical Christian who believes in climate change, you know, speaks of her faith and climate change in the same sentence. How else are people doing this on a personal level?
I'll give you an example. A lot of people really do love their pets. And one thing that can happen in a natural disaster, as we're seeing more extreme weather related to climate change, is that people get separated from their pets, or they don't want to evacuate because they don't want to leave their pets behind, or pets end up in shelters. And so if you can talk about climate change and maybe connect your concern about extreme weather to people's love and devotion for their pets, or something else very personal like that, I think that can wake people up and help invite them to enter the conversation in a different way, rather than just sort of automatically defaulting into something about Al Gore or Donald Trump.
What are some of the other questions that you've had?
So, for example, I got one question from a woman living in Boston who was wondering if one day malaria could spread to her city, and wondered if she should do something to protect her family. Mm-hmm. I've had questions like, will there be famines in the United States in the near future? And then I get another set of questions that are really about, how do I talk about this? How do I bring climate change up during small talk at social gatherings? What kind of car should I get? What's the best car for the climate?
Mm. By the way, people who ask you, should I buy that beach house? What do you say?
You know, I think that if it's your heart's desire, I'm not going to say, no, don't do that. But you need to understand the risks and think about the homes that people lost during the Great Recession and how many homes lost a lot of value, and be prepared that something similar could happen to your beach home. And unlike the case in the Great Recession, the value may never come back, because the house itself, even if it doesn't go underwater, if the roads connecting to it go underwater, the cost of insuring the place will go up. And so it may not be the investment that it was in the past.
Well, it's interesting, and even hearing you now, you didn't say, scientists project that sea level, because of sea level rise and the melting glaciers, and that there's, you said, the road to your house might be flooded, which is a much more graspable notion.
Yes. I think that you've really hit on the key to this, that an advice column invites people into this topic in a different way, on a very personal one-to-one. And it's not about making accusations or saying that people are wrong. It's just, the reality is that each of us will have to deal with this issue in the future, and even right now.
I want to go back to the mother who asked you, what should I tell my kids? And it was just kind of heartbreaking because, you know, she joked that they're two now, but according to projections, they're going to be dealing with these effects on a very serious level when they grow up. And you advised, and I want to give some of your advice because it's so good. NASA has a climate website for children. You list some books. We'll put them at our website, herenow.org. But also, you spoke to another science journalist who said, talk about climate change the way you'd approach the subject of sex. They'll let you know when they don't want to know anymore. They'll let you know how much they can take in.
Yeah. So this is the science writer, Michelle Niehaus. I think she had some really great advice, which was, you need to answer their questions about climate change, because that's one of the most important things you can do as a parent to prepare your children for climate change, is even simply letting them know that it exists and that it will affect them.
You remind this mother that in 2018, the roads were blocked to Wilmington, North Carolina, because of Hurricane Florence. So people there had to know how to survive a few days on their own with canned foods and flashlights. And you can extrapolate from that, if there's a longer interruption, Your kids might want to know how to garden, preserve food, safely gather and filter water, make repairs to a damaged home, sew clothing, provide medical care, use self-defense techniques, and more. That's a chilling sentence right there.
Yes, it is. But no human being can know all of those skills. And so what is even more important is teaching your kids how to get along with others. Because we rely on others all the time for medical care and to make repairs. And so what can help your kids become more resilient is just trusting that they will be part of a community and helping them learn how to work well within that community.
Sarah Peach, senior editor at Yale Climate Connections. And also, she writes the monthly climate change advice column, Ask Sarah. We'll link you up at herenow.org. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And our talk with Sarah is part of Covering Climate Now. This is a collaboration of more than 250 news outlets around the world. We will link you to Sarah's column, but also, what would you like to see us cover about climate change? What questions do you want us to try to answer? Let us know. herenow.org.